Okay, we're. I think we're going? Recording.
We're going?
Yes.
All right. So, I already opened mine.
Ah. Cheers.
All right. So, let's get in the Wayback Machine real quick. Issue number one. How'd you do it?
Well, you want the long version.
It's up to your battery.
Yeah. You know, the light bulb moment was like getting a copy of PageMaker software loaded onto my computer, and you know, realizing that, wow, this desktop publishing thing is like, how easy can this be? You know, just typing into a document and then hitting reproduce, moving graphics around is, and
that was what year?
That was sometime in '88 because we launched in 1989.
Okay.
But we made a prototype and we went around to, you know, a mock-up with like mm-hmm. different ad sizes indicated.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this could be your ad here, you know, maybe $100 for a page or 200, I don't know, I forget, but yeah. Like, we went around to all the bike shops and then talked to all the race promoters and, you know, got enough, buy-in and support to print the issue. There was no investment, really. It was, you know, it had supported itself from the beginning because it was just a total experiment, right? So, yeah. I think that's...
So you started in the black.
Well, not counting our time.
Yeah. But well, you can't count time.
We sold enough ads to print, you know, 2,000 copies
mm-hmm.
of our first issue. And, you know, it was... printed on with paper negatives, you know, instant mm-hmm. printing, and then we on 11x17 paper, and we hand collated and folded it in the basement.
So, 200, because 200 comes out.
It's coming out.
It's like in the next couple weeks.
It's like
right?
Any day now.
Yeah, we should see it in our mailbox.
I think it should be shipping, maybe like in a couple days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Should be in your mailbox soon, yeah.
Maybe when I get home. So, 200, what goes in from the PageMaker software to that? What's 200 like?
Well, issue one, you know, we still had to, like, take photographs, mm-hmm. develop the film. I had a dark room in the basement, make prints, send the prints out to be halftoned. And then the ads had to be, you know, we did laser output of our editorial stuff, left a space for the photos, then we would take, you know, the ads were glued in, you know, with little tiny pieces of paper.
Yeah.
Like every logo, like in a race promoter's ad, every logo for every sponsor would be like a separate piece of paper and...
It's like a collage.
And, you know, we'd wax them on and wax them off, and, you know, sometimes they'd fall off, and then we wouldn't, you know, we'd get the angry advertiser, like, my logo wasn't in your ad, and, oh, there it is on the floor, you know. But, you know, around 2000, started getting into digital, and now it's a, you know, completely digital workflow. Including, you know, having remote editors and people.
And a microphone interview onto an iPhone.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, these aren't in the right order. We'll just do it like this. So, if you can actually envision it, if you weren't doing Dirt Rag, do you have any idea what your path would have been?
Oh, I would... Well, before starting Dirt Rag, I was a professional photographer.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'd spent... you know, I had spent a decade of the 80s, you know, building, you know, hustling and building a photography business. And then, you know, we're like sort of started this magazine on the side and, you know, it kind of took off. People liked it and, you know, grew and grew. And then the photography sort of fell by the wayside. But I'd probably still be doing that or, you know, something else.
Well, it's a 29. How many years is that? 20? 30?
Oh,
what, 88 to now? It's almost 30 years.
2019 will be our 30th year.
Yeah.
No, it'll be our... No, wait,
2018, technically.
So April of 2019 will be our 30th anniversary.
Yeah.
That meaning we've had completed 30 years.
Yeah.
But 2018 will be our 30th year.
Hell yeah.
In business.
It's fantastic.
Crazy. Yeah.
That's fantastic. So from your perspective, because Dirt Rag has a completely... To me, Dirt Rag has a completely different perspective on the industry than a lot of the other magazines and people that do promotion of things, like events or whatever else. And so, what, looking at the breadth of the industry, what do you see as, like, not missing, but what do you think the next logical good step would be for the industry to chase? Because, like, some people think it's e-bikes. Some people think it's like Pink It and Shrink It women stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like everybody's kind of going in a... Some people like take technology to the nth, you know, but like as far as... Because I was talking with Evan and got the numbers. The ratios were 4-1. You had, you know, one female for every 4 men. Or no, it was 25%, so it's 3-1.
Yeah.
That's huge for a mountain bike event.
It really is. Good, huh?
It's pretty good. 1,000 attendees, roughly 80 of them kids, if not more, because you can count that. I mean, that's, you don't really see that, you know, in any, you know, other big event. You know, Sunday was free, so anybody can come on Sunday and try it out, you know, try before you buy. And then you're given the money to basically help start a NICA chapter.
Yep, you know, a couple percentage of,
give them proceeds. Yeah, chunk of proceeds.
You know, as a donation.
Yeah. So it seems to me you guys are going after families. So is that, or have you even thought of that?
Well, I mean, bikes, you know, bikes, bicycles, and bicycle riding make the world a better place. And I think. And that's why part of our mission is getting more people on bikes, and that means more, you know, getting the kids in early. So we've been a strong supporter of NICA, you know, since the beginning, and
so like, I'm not saying like a fatal flaw or anybody doing anything else wrong. Just kind of a...
Well, you know, there's... We see things...
This is DC. You can say whatever you want.
I mean, we... I mean, we have some... We're trying to do good, you know, in our business and with the power that we have of this media, you know, whether it's print or a website or a print magazine or, you know, an event where we invite a bunch of people to share in our, well, really share in our belief system. So Dirt Fest is, you know, well, like for example, we don't have racing here, right? We feel that racing doesn't really make the sport. You know, it's getting people to want to do it and ride bikes and have it be easy. And I don't know, like maybe a little less elitist. I mean, in the current built community, you know, in the current, like, with the state of the political spectrum, you know, in America, it's like our job is even more important to get everyone together, and that means as a family,
yeah,
and that includes women and children, you know, and being
and the guy telling me about the digital pressure gauge on how I need to pump my tires up to a specific pound because, you know, a pound matters when you're on a plus bike. You know, the super techie guys are here. Well, the techie guys are here shredding it. I mean, they love it.
The tech is fine, but...
But I'm saying there's a place for everybody, not just the
yeah.
families and kids and the Freds or whatever. It's... You know, even
these are technical. These are technical trails here, so they take technical riding skills.
When I'm saying technical, I'm talking about like Strava users and guys that don't just like grab beers and go ride. Like even the guys that you know have the very like totally into all the newest, latest, greatest gadgets and all that. They're comfortable here too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's what you know. The bike demos are for a Trek. I mean, Trek brought a brand new bike that is just getting released, and you know, Joe Blow was able to, or Joe Mountain Biker, we'll call him, or they, you know, was able to come up and ride a brand new. I assume state of the art mountain bike.
Yeah,
you know, but we want, you know, but then he's going on the ride and he's riding these amazing trails on amazing bikes, and then coming back and
amazing food,
hanging out, and we got food and music and expo and camaraderie and
community.
I mean, that's the crux of the biscuit, you know, is to have the community and let, you know, because we're all in this together, and you know, there's so much us versus them, you know, kind of thought going on in the world these days that we really, I mean, the world really needs community.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, I'll save this one for last. So, we've drank quite a bit of whiskey together. So, I know you like whiskey.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What is your go-to whiskey?
Oh, Jefferson's.
Jefferson's.
Yeah.
Like just straight Jefferson's.
Yeah. Unless I like have extra.
Extra money, get the reserve, get a little special.
Yeah. Or maybe if the reserve's on sale or something, you know. You know.
So Jefferson's.
Yeah, Jefferson's, yeah.
Nice.
Good price to performance ratio and, you know. A little. I like a little stuff on the. A little sweet on the little on the sweet side, you know. Mm-hmm. So, you know, a super special occasion, maybe some Blantons, you know.
And go heavy.
Because that's like, you know, at 50, that's like, let's see, that's 55, 60 bucks a bottle, you know.
Yeah.
But you can, you know, you can.
It's justifiable.
It's, exactly, it's justifiable.
Yeah, not every time, but it's justifiable.
On occasion, yeah.
And so, you also DJ for KLAX, right?
KALX Berkeley.
Yeah, Berkeley, yeah.
University of California and listener-supported radio, 90.7 on your FM dial.
I've been listening when I can.
Meow in the morning, playing all your hits.
Yeah. So how you digging that?
It's like one of those things that's like a lifetime dream where... I actually DJed, I went to college at the University of Dayton, and I was a DJ on the dorm radio station, and I was, like, up at, like, in the middle of the night, you know, because that's when my shift was, and I, like, I cursed at some equipment, and I got fired. And my whole life I've spent, like...
trying to redeem yourself.
Trying to redeem myself, and, like, hoping, like, someday I'd get to be a DJ again. and I got an opportunity to volunteer at Calyx, and you know, that path has led to me currently being on the air every Wednesday from 6 to 9 a.m. Pacific time. Stream us at kalx.berkeley.edu/liveplayer, or just Google it, or get it on your iPhone, or
it's just funny because I hear it on the radio, and I don't, like, I don't see you because it's the radio.
Yeah.
And then when you say it, it's like when you see, like, the girl that does Bart Simpson's voice, that, you know, it doesn't make sense.
Right, and I don't.
And you're not day four into a camping trip.
It's a lot of fun. I'll tell you, it's a lot of fun.
That's awesome. So, yeah. Other music.
Well, Calyx were like forced eclectic, so it's, you know, I've got to know everything and play everything, but my favorite music, is that what you're at? I don't know. Yeah. It runs the gamut, you know, like, I don't know.
It's like you know, you lean into some John Zorn and King Crimson once in a while.
I can't, like, King Crimson, yeah. You know, I don't know John Zorn.
I'll turn you on to some John Zorn.
But you know, I mean, I grew up when I was little. I had a transistor radio pressed to my ear, and you know, the AM radio would play, like, the one station would play, you know, you'd be hearing, like, Aretha Franklin and James Brown and the Rolling Stones and the Beatles and Led Zeppelin, like, all on the same station.
Yeah, that's cool.
That's my memory of it, you know? It was just like that, it was all, like, great music and everybody listened to it. Now it's so much more nichified. But, you know, so, you
it's
know.
It's all branded.
I'm super into, you know, yeah, super into Zappa, you know. What I listen to a lot back in the, you know, college years, a lot of Zappa, Doors, The Who, you know, Live at Leeds, the 80s, you know, I don't know, man.
We don't need to talk about music in the 80s.
I think I might have been getting into, like, Hank Jr. And stuff for a while.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
And just, like, country, I was almost, like, playing that role. But and then the 90s, I got into, you know, all the college radio, the Pavement, Pixies, R.E.M., you know.
Like all the old real Sub Pop stuff.
Yeah.
That kind of shit.
Sebado.
Yeah.
You know, and now I'm still into that stuff, and I'm getting into, like, just into post-punk. I'm into, like, hip-hop. I've been watching, like, TV shows about hip-hop and documentaries and historical documentaries and, like, learning about the birth of it and what else? There's a great reggae section in the Calyx library. They've got this incredible library full of incredible vinyl and CDs. Yeah. You know, trying to find some jazz I like. I'm really into Eric Dolphy. Steve Reich. You know, I try and find these really weird, long, because it's really hectic. DJing is really hectic, so it's I got to find, like, long songs to play. You know, so a whole side of jazz.
Just throw in a couple of Brecker Brothers.
I really enjoyed playing this tune called Parthenogenesis by Canned Heat.
Uh-huh.
Canned Heat was my first concert growing up.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Look that up. Living the Blues. Hooker and Heat. John Lee Hooker and Canned Heat.
Yeah. You ever get into the... Dr. Hook, all that kind of stuff.
Nope.
Never got into Dr. Hook. It's interesting. You can get into Dr. Hook, but you're in
the Zap. Is that the right place, long time?
I think it's the right place, wrong time.
It must have been the right place. But, I mean, I know that song.
Shel Silverstein wrote a lot of Dr. Hook stuff.
I need to learn more about Shel Silverstein.
I'll send you. Somewhere I have a copy of his record. I'll have to send it to you.
Yeah, because someone was telling me about
Dirty as Zappa. It's the most beautiful thing ever.
Yeah.
So, final question.
Zappa as a composer, mind you, not about pissing in yellow snow. He's like a great American composer.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Yeah.
Genius.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So here's the $100 question, and I might go find a bottle of whiskey first. E-bikes. What do you think?
I ride one as a you know. I got a cargo bike and
the Yuba. You still
got a Yuba Mundo.
Yeah.
With a you know a throttle and a motor in the front wheel. And you know, going out and like I got a van. Mm-hmm. My van's parked 3 weeks. You know, three weeks a month at a time.
Mm-hmm.
I can do a lot of stuff with this. You know, cargo bike. But, you know, as far as mountain bikes go, whatever, you know, like, you can't stop technology. What are you going to do? Like, it's there. You know, there's some advantages for, like, old dads trying to keep up with their young kids, or you know, there's a whole litany of reasons to like them or hate them. It's funny that Richard Cunningham wrote a good piece about that, and it was talking about how way back in the day, like you know, like that motorcycles developed out of bicycles.
Yeah,
someone put a motor on a bicycle, and then the next thing you know, you got a motorcycle. Well, what I think is going to happen is that's what's happening now because, you know, with the battery technology, motor technology, always improving, you know, that...
So do you think maybe that e-bikes might be the missing link into electric motorcycles?
Well, you got electric motorcycles. You can buy electric motorcycles. You can buy electric bikes. I don't know where they're going to cross, but they will. I mean, it'll all flush out.
Yeah.
You know? But you know, as far as my biggest concern is the access issue because you know we worked really hard as a you know Dirt Rag being like a longtime supporter of the work of IMBA, you know. We've all worked really hard to, like, you know, earn
the trust.
The trust,
yeah.
You know, from the rest of the users to that, you know, mountain bikes are okay, you know, but then now you're throwing this motor thing in, and now it's like it's all fucked up, you know, like so. You know, hey, as long as the trails are designed for it. I mean, I don't favor like allowing them everywhere right now at this moment in time. But certainly, there are just like with any kind of motorized vehicle, like any motorcycle,
yeah.
which these things
are, yeah.
You know, there are places to ride them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm all for a little boost.
Awesome. Cool. Well, thank you. Thanks for the party.
Thanks for coming.
Yeah, dude. It was great.
I hope this came out okay.